Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast from the First Christian Church in Great Bend, Kansas. We are a church with a mission of inspiring ordinary people to live extraordinary lives for Christ. It really doesn't matter who you are, what you have done, or how you choose to worship. You belong here. We pray that this week's sermon blesses you and that you feel God's presence through it today.
So today we are in week three of our sermon series on doubt, where what we're doing is instead of continuing to beat around the bush when it comes to some of those questions and doubts that we have all faced at one time or another in life, is we're jumping in head first, no matter how uncomfortable things might get, to not only try to answer some of those doubts, but also to continue to learn how doubts and questions can actually help us to go deeper in our faith. And so now that we have spent some time wrestling with how doubts and questions are not necessarily a bad thing, but a way to go deeper, which is what we did in week one. And then in week two, got into the big question, does God actually exist? This morning, and to keep this series moving right along, we turn our attention to another one of those questions that in my 23 years of ministry experience, I continue to hear over and over again in all kinds of ways, which is the question, why doesn't God answer my prayers? Why doesn't God give me what I want is another way to say that. Or how many of you, if you get really honest with yourself, have ever spent some time wrestling with this particular question? Anybody? Yeah, I think the truth is we've all at one time or another wrestled with this question. So the way I have experienced this particular question rearing its ugly head, besides when people ask the question, why do bad things happen, which is what we're going to get into next week, is when people not only give themselves to praying for something that they really, really want, but also when people actually think that what they're praying for is God's will for them. Or for instance, I have run across quite a few people who have given themselves to doing their job well for years. And so when that promotion comes up, or maybe there's even another job opportunity, not only do they begin to pray, but they also expect to get that position like somehow they've already earned it. Another place that I've seen this showing up is when it comes to love, in that for some reason there are these people who get convinced that it is God's will for them to be with that other person. And so not only do they pursue that other person, but they begin begging God to make it happen. And yet even more interesting during football season is I find a whole lot of people not only praying for, but expecting God to do something to help their team win. I don't know why you guys are giggling. And so, what happens when those people don't end up getting what they asked for, or when they don't get that promotion, or when the one that they love doesn't love them back, or even when the kitty cats or the chicken hawks get beat? I don't care who you are, that is funny. That is funny as a Sooner fan, come on now. As they actually begin to doubt and question, can God really answer my prayers? Well, to try to answer this question for you in the best way I know how, and it's way more complex than what we're going to talk about, but nonetheless, I think the problem here is not that on occasion God clearly doesn't answer some of our prayers the way we expect. We've all had that happen to us. No, the problem here, at least in my opinion, is deeper than that and has to do with our understanding of how God actually goes about answering our prayers. In that for a whole lot of people, the way they basically understand God, now they don't actually think this in their brain, but this is kind of how it works, is they think of God kind of like a cosmic vending machine. In that when you put your money in the machine and you push the button, you expect to get exactly what you want. And so what they believe is if you pray long enough, you pray hard enough, that's putting your money in, that's pushing the button, and they expect to get exactly what they want. And so of course what happens when people hold this view of God and they don't get what they want is that's when the doubts and questions start to arise. So what I would like to point out to you about this understanding of God is not only is it wrong, but the truth is you really don't want a God who answers all of your prayers. You really don't want a God who is like a cosmic vending machine. And to see how this is true, all you have to do is to think back to a time in your life when you were desperately praying for something that you really, really wanted. You know, one of those things that you thought was God's will for your life, and you didn't get it. And even though in that moment you were crushed and disappointed and started to ask all those questions, now that some time has passed and you're able to look back on that event, those prayers, you're now very, very thankful that God didn't answer that prayer in that way, because ultimately, If God would have answered that prayer in that way, you wouldn't be where you are. You wouldn't be who you are today. Or maybe to help you see this logic, let me tell you about how coming to the First Christian Church to be your minister was not what I prayed for. So the year is 2014. My wife and I had just decided that our time at New Hope Christian Church in Oklahoma City had come to an end. And for me, given the success that we had at New Hope, not only did I expect to be able to move up into a larger church, but I also expected that God would send us back closer to home. And home for us, or at least in my family, is the Tulsa area. And so, of course, when the First Christian Church of Tulsa opened up right at the very time I put my papers out, I not only spent a whole lot of time begging God to help those ding-dongs on the search committee see that I was the right guy, because clearly I was the right guy, but I really did believe that this was God's will for our family. Or at one point, I was convinced that this was going to happen. It was just so perfect. And yet, at the same time, all of that was going on. I was getting calls from all over the place, Texas, Missouri, Kansas, Nebraska, all sorts of places, including getting this call from this little church located smack dab in the middle of Kansas. And luckily, given my philosophy, to at least have a conversation with every congregation that's interested, because I don't want to miss out on what God has for me, is with a whole lot of reservation that I decided to take that interview. If you guys will allow me to get really honest with you for a moment, the first thought I had after doing some research on Great Bend in this church was, there is no way. Not done. There is no way in H-E double hockey sticks that I am moving my family that far away from home to this church. And yet, because of that first interview, because it went so well, I walked away from that first conversation thinking, God, please do not tell me you were really calling me to move to Kansas. All the while still believing and continuing to pray that God would send me to FCC Tulsa, because I thought that's where I belonged. And so, what happened when I finally got the news that I didn't get the job in Tulsa? And it was me and one other candidate kind of deal, right? It was that close. I was crushed. Absolutely crushed, and started to have these doubts and questions of why God didn't answer my prayer. Even getting to the point where I was kind of angry with God for not giving me what I wanted. Like somehow God got it wrong. And so what we did, right? Ashley's sitting over here. She's turning red. Because Great Bend was our second choice, is my wife and I, after a whole lot of prayers, finally decided that even though we're not real thrilled about it, we're going to trust that God is going to do right by us, and we're going to move to Great Bend to see how it works out. And you know what? In looking back over the last 10 years that I've had the privilege and the honor of serving as your minister, what I can tell you now without any kind of reservation whatsoever is I am so grateful that God didn't answer my prayers to go to Tulsa. And the reason I'm grateful is not just because a couple of years after Tulsa got their new minister, that church went south in a hurry, right? That could have been me. I could have been dealing with all of that stress. But most importantly, it's because of all that we have been able to do together as a congregation. Never in a million years did I think that we would have more than doubled in size, let alone getting to a place where we have to build to make room for the people that continue to show up. Never in a million years, not to mention the fact that I've become fond of most of you. Not all of you. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding on that guy. You guys are my second family. You guys are my life. I mean, that's the way it is as a minister. You might not think of me too often, but I'm always thinking about you guys. I'm always praying about you guys. And especially if there's something going on, you're always in the back of my mind. And then beyond all of that, I think the most important reason why God moved us here is Great Bend has been an absolutely fantastic place for Ashley and I to raise our girls, right? And not only that, it's been a great place for them to begin to learn and grow and figure out who God is calling them to be. And oftentimes, Karis and I will have conversations. She's like, Daddy, please don't ever move from Great Bend, right? Which there's no plan on any of that stuff, but we have those conversations. So this is where they belong. This is where they need to be. So again, I'm very, very grateful that God didn't answer that prayer the way I wanted, but instead notice that God answered that prayer by giving me and my family not what we wanted, but but what was best for us. And yet, what happens when you take this same logic and use it to look at the world and our lives in a big picture again? Again, what you're going to discover is you really don't want a God who is like a cosmic vending machine. Or how many of you have ever seen the movie Bruce Almighty? I know it's been a moment since it was out, right? Well, for those of you who haven't or need a refresher, simply put, because the main character, Bruce Nolan, gets mad at God for not answering his prayer to become the next TV anchor in his area, through a series of events, God, to make a point, eventually gives Bruce the power to be God of the Buffalo, New York area. And how we find Bruce going about answering all those prayers that he's now receiving is he simply answers yes to everything. With the assumption being that, right, if everybody gets what they want, anytime they want it, everybody will be happy and satisfied, and it'll make the world a much better place, which sounds awesome, right? I mean, we all, it sounds pretty good at first. And yet what happens, which I think is the beauty of this feature, of this movie, is when Bruce answers all those prayers, the city of Buffalo is thrown into absolute chaos. And all because when everyone always gets what they want, those prayers begin to conflict with one another. The best example being how everyone who played the lottery won the lottery, meaning that nobody got any money because everybody had won some money. It was like they get like $1.32 for winning the lottery because everybody got their prayer answered, right? Well, what that puts into perspective for me is, again, it really isn't good for God to act like a cosmic vending machine. It really isn't a good thing. We shouldn't want our God to be like a genie who grants our wishes, because if that really did happen, things wouldn't be better. Things would actually get worse if God acted in that way, which again, ultimately means that the great theologian Garth Brooks got it right when he said, some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers, right? Now, the funny thing about that particular saying back there is nobody in the back got what I was talking about because I'm so old, right? They didn't get the Garth Brooks reference. So just to tell you how things work in this church these days. Okay, so now that you guys are able to see why it is that we don't want our God to be a cosmic vending machine, now let me show you a better way to think about how God actually works. So as we talked about in week one of this particular series, the first part of this particular teaching, Jesus is clearly telling us to ask for everything that we want. There's no problem in asking for everything that we want. He says this: asking it will be given to you, seeking you will find, knocking the door will be open to you. For everyone who receives, or everyone who asks receives, those who seek find, and to the one who knocks the door will be open, right? So that all seems straightforward. And yet, what oftentimes happens when people read this particular verse is they simply read this part, then they stop. Ultimately assuming that because God told us to ask, seek, and knock, if we'll just do that, then we're going to get everything we want. And yet, what I would like to point out to you is that to really understand this particular verse or what Jesus is teaching us here, you can't stop with just the first part of this teaching, but have to include the second part, which says this: which of you, if a son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And what I interpret Jesus to be saying here is, if you want to understand how God goes about answering our prayers, the best metaphor to use to make sense of that is that God is like a good parent. Because when it comes to parents and their children asking for things that are not good for them, what do parents do? What are parents really, really good at? Are parents really good at just handing stuff out whenever their kids ask? No. What do parents do really well? No. Over and over again, no. Now, the other part of that is, parents, if kids are asking for something that really is important, really is foundational for their development, I know parents that will go out of their way working extra jobs and all that stuff to make that happen. So they do say yes, they just say no to the things that don't work. Or to make this really practical, kind of what sticks in my mind is, parents are always going to say no if a kid comes up and says, hey, mom, is it okay if I eat this whole tub of ice cream in one sitting? Right? You guys have never had that happen to you at your household? While on the other hand, if they come up with a bowl of fruit and say, hey, mom, can I eat all of this? It's going to be yes every single time. So, what I think Jesus is trying to teach us here is that the way God goes about answering our prayers is that, just like a good parent, God's not going to answer all those prayers that are not good for us, but in turn, is more than willing to answer those prayers that are not only what's best for us, but on an even bigger scale, what's also best for the kingdom. Because, of course, that's what's most important, right? Us getting involved in what God is doing in this world. Or another way to think about this, it's not that God doesn't answer our prayers. It's just sometimes God answers our prayers by saying no. That's an answer. Or what I've experienced more often is God answers our prayers in a way that is much better for us. And so what that means for you and I is it might just be time for some of us to take a step back and reevaluate the way we understand how God goes about answering our prayers. So the next time we don't end up getting what we want, we don't end up getting angry or start having doubts, but we learn to trust that we serve a God who gives us what we need when we need it. Because that's just how good and amazing and wonderful our God really is. Or ultimately, to a certain extent, what understanding prayer is foundationally about, it's learning to trust God. It's asking for everything that you want. It's seeking everything that you want, but also keeping in mind at all times that you do not know what's best for you. God does. And so that we have to trust that God is guiding and directing us in the right ways. Let us pray. Father, again, we're so grateful for this opportunity to jump into this question, why don't you answer our prayers? And the answer to this particular question surprises people on occasion. But what I hope for everybody here today is they'll begin to see that you're a God who is so good to us that you're not willing to say yes to everything. You're not willing to answer all of those prayers, but are the kind of God who just says yes when it's what's best for us and no when it's not. And even more than that, you're the kind of God who, when you say no in one area, you open something up that's even better for our lives. So help us, Lord, as a people, trust that you really do know what's best for us as we move forward in this life, always holding on to you as a God who is with us and for us and bigger than anything we will ever face. It's in your name and for our sake that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon, and we hope you are able to join us next week. To learn more about FCC Great Bend, visit us online at firstchristianchurchgb.com. Again, that's firstchristianchurchgb.com. God bless, and have a great week.